hand, God just dropped into my heart, shapeshifter, the power to change. I said, okay. So I just wrote it down and, you know, filed it away for a future date. And then Pastor made comment that he was going to be gone. And so I was thinking about this message and thinking about the message. And yesterday, I'm still thinking about the message. And if you kind of picture an airplane that's circling an airport, okay? And so the message shapeshifter was the airport. And I'm the airplane circling around the title shapeshifter. And I had about three different directions. And I was trying to make each of them work. And it was getting rather frustrating because time is ticking. And I am still not settled on what I'm supposed to do. And I was almost to the point of, okay, I'm just going to pull out a previous message that I haven't taught here yet. And I'm going to just give it to the people because, Lord, I need something. And so a lot of times when I get frustrated, I come over and I was just playing at the piano, and the song Waymaker has really, I've been playing it a lot at my house and in my personal worship time. And as I was walking from here back to the office side, I hit the youth side, and God said, I am the Waymaker. And I said, well, yeah, I know you're the Waymaker. But then I got to thinking, if he is the Waymaker, then what is my responsibility? He's making a way. He's bringing me peace. He's doing the miracles. He's shining light in my darkness. So what is my responsibility? And after that, then things started flowing. And so I'm a very visual person, and I like sermon illustrations. I like to be able to see what's a demonstration, a visual demonstration of it. So I have here a pot that my daughter Ashley made in high school in pottery class. Now, when she started this pot, how many of you know that when she sat down at the potter's wheel that this pot did not look like this? No. She slammed a piece of clay down on that wheel, okay, and she started working the clay, and she started getting it soft and started getting it to where she could work with it, and then she'd start shaping it, and she'd shape it, and she'd shape it, and she'd shape it, and then, oh, I don't like that, and she'd, you know, destroy it. And take it back down into the ball and shape it again and shape it again. And I'm sure there were times when Ashley was working on this bowl that she was wondering, is it ever going to look like something beautiful? Is it always just going to kind of look like this glob of clay that I just can't get it to look like I want it to? She probably had a picture in her head of how she wanted this bowl to look. And sometimes, you know, what you see in your head and what you get in reality are two different things, right? I mean, if you go on Pinterest and you try to do some of those crafts, I'm one of those Pinterest fail persons. Yeah. It looks good on Pinterest. It doesn't look so good when I do it. Okay, so our life is kind of like this clay or this Play-Doh. We have circumstances and situations in our life that right now do not look like anything. But we have a vision in our head of what we want that circumstance and that situation to look like. And there's times when it starts getting shaped and starts looking something like it, and then it gets destroyed. And it looks even worse than what it started. And it gets reshaped again. And it gets reshaped again. And we start, oh yeah, it's starting to look better. It's starting to look better. It's looking more like what I want it to. And then maybe we finally get to that final product in the circumstance and situation that we're dealing with. And so when I'm talking about shapeshifter, God is the shapeshifter in our life. He is the one that is shifting and reshaping the circumstances and situations that we are dealing with in our life. Amen? Have you ever tried to reshape a circumstance or situation on your own and it not go so well? Yeah. Okay. So God is our shapeshifter. So as he's shifting things in our life, today we're going to talk about what is my responsibility. If God is doing the shaping and the shifting, what do I need to do to work alongside with him? So before we get started, I'm just going to list real quick some instances in the Bible where God shifted things. And then during the message, we're going to come back and talk about some of those. First one we have is creation. We have Abraham and Sarah with the birth of Isaac. We have the crossing of the Red Sea. We have the walls of Jericho that came down. We have Gideon going to war with clay pots with lanterns inside and shouts. We have Joseph, a spoiled little rich kid that ends up in slavery and then ends up second in command in a foreign country. We have Lazarus and Jairus' daughter who were raised from the dead. We have the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the multitudes with two fish and 5 loaves of bread. So God is able to take impossible situations and reshape them into possibilities. We just need to be working along with him. Okay, so if you'll turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 41, we're going to get started. Our first responsibility, our first part to play in working with the shapeshifter is to only believe. Only believe. In Luke 8, verse 41, in the New King James Version, it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying." If you drop down to verse 49, "While he," Jesus, "was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, 'Do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well.'" Now here, my clay looks pretty good, right? I have a pretty nice little shape. Jairus is coming to Jesus. "Jesus, this is my situation. My little girl is dying." And in the course of Jesus traveling to his house, he gets word that she has now died. It does not look so good anymore. The situation has gone from bad to worse. And when Jesus is telling Jairus, "Only believe," he's telling him that because at that point, Jairus was facing reality and he was facing fantasy. Reality was the daughter's dead. All hope is gone. Fantasy is, but Jesus could still do something about it. See, his mind is telling him, it's hopeless. You know, the situation cannot change. She's dead. She's dead. There's no life left in her. But the reason Jairus came to Jesus in the first place was because he believed that Jesus could take his situation, his lump of clay, and he could mold it and reshape it into something beautiful. He could heal his daughter. So Jesus is looking at Jairus and he says, "Jairus, do not forget why you came to me in the first place. Do not let go of that hope that caused you to hunt me down and ask me to come to your house." So when we're looking at our situation and it has gone from bad to worse, do not let go of the hope that brought you to Jesus in the first place. "I know that this doesn't look like much right now, Jesus, but I believe that you can make my situation look beautiful. You can turn my situation around. You can reshape it. You can shift circumstances and situations so that it looks beautiful, so that it's useful, so that it's a testament to what you can do." Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. We hear this scripture a lot. It may be one of the favorites that you have. But in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So when your situation looks hopeless, when your situation has gone from bad to worse, that is a time where you have to decide, am I going to choose reality or am I going to choose fantasy? And fantasy being the fact that it just looks, there looks to be no way that what I want can happen. And the world is telling you, you know, it's over. Do not give up on the hope that brought you to Jesus in the first place. Do not give up on the fact that God is the God of the impossible. Understand that the making of this bowl was a process. Every time that the clay was taken back to the beginning bowl, it wasn't the end. It was still being reshaped. Things were still happening. The forming was still going on. The shifting and the reshaping was still happening. So even though the circumstance and situation says it's not getting any better, God says, do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. I am still working. I am still reshaping. I am still reshifting. It has not gotten to be too much for me. We have a story in Mark chapter 9 where a father comes to Jesus because his son is demon possessed. And the father has asked Jesus, can you heal my son? He says, Jesus, if you are able. And Jesus responded, if I am able. And his response in the Passion is, what do you mean if? If you are able to believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So the if wasn't on Jesus's part. The if is on my part. Can I believe? Do I believe deep down in my heart that Jesus is able to do this? Yeah, I believe when things are looking good. But when things go from bad to worse, that's when you really find out, do I really believe? No matter how big the monster gets, no matter how loud the situation is screaming at me, no matter how dark times get in my life, do I believe that God is the God of the impossible? I need to be able to establish in my life, number one, can He? Can God do this? Is God able? Number two, will He do it for me? A lot of times, well, yeah, I know God's able, but for some reason we don't think that He'll do it for me. We allow the devil to tell us we're not good enough, or it's not meant for us, or the situation we're going through, we have a lesson we need to learn. God is trying to teach you a lesson, so you better learn that lesson. Okay? So will God do it for you? Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Looking at the story of creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says, the earth was without form and void. Okay, so my situation does not look anything like I want it to. This lump of Play-Doh does not look anything like this bowl that I have pictured in my mind. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Maybe I've reshaped and reshaped and reshaped and reshaped this Play-Doh, and I still can't get it to make it look like a bowl. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Okay, so the earth was without form, it was void, there was chaos. So imagine chaos. Maybe you feel like your life is in chaos right now. And the Spirit, it says the Spirit was hovering over the chaos. So the Spirit of God, who has the power to bring that chaos into order, was hovering. The song Waymaker says, you are here moving in our midst. God is here. His Spirit is here. The power to reshape your circumstance and situation is here right now. And what is it waiting on? If you go to verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be. And there was. This spirit was just waiting for the word so it could move. So I'm asking you, in your only believe part, what is the word of God that you are holding on to for this circumstance and situation to be reshaped? What is the promise of God that he has given you that you are holding on to? Because if you don't have a word from God, if you don't have a promise from God, when this goes from bad to worse, what do you have to hold on to? Where is your hope? My hope was in this becoming this. And it's not becoming this. It is becoming a mess. And I have no hope. So I want to encourage you, get a word from the Lord. Get a scripture. Get a promise. And tape it up on your bathroom mirror. Tape it on your steering wheel in your car. Put it on your refrigerator. Keep it before you, because there will be times when your situation goes from bad to worse and you're going to start focusing on the reality that this is dying. It is almost dead. There is no hope. And you look at that scripture, but my God said, this is what he is going to do. And you start getting that word out. What is your one word from God that is giving you hope and building your faith that this situation is going to turn around? Only believe. Our first step in working with the shapeshifter is to only believe that he can do it, that he can reshape this circumstance and situation. The next one is, we need to be obedient. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. If you have a willing heart to let me help you, and if you will obey me, you will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest. Now, how many of you have caught yourselves? God is, he's sitting at the potter's wheel, and he's got the clay, okay? And he's molding, and he's shaping. And you come in and you say, no, God, you're doing it all wrong. It's got to be this way. And you're trying to help him, and you're getting in the way, and you create a mess. You know, he just kind of steps back, and he lets you, okay, you think you can do it, then here you go. And then we get, but God, it didn't turn out like I wanted it to, and I really need you to. He goes, okay, get off the chair and let me sit at the wheel. Okay. So what has God told you about this situation? What has he instructed you to do? Are you doing what he's instructed? When Jesus was calling his disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. My job is to follow. Let Jesus lead, I follow. He does the making. He does the reshaping. He does the shifting. I just have to obey. But sometimes he asks us to do things that we're like, it makes no sense. Jesus, why would I do that? And we're going to look at one of those, because I think the response of this guy was so classic. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a story of Naaman. He has leprosy, and one of his servant girls said, you know, there's this prophet over in this other country that you need to go to. And so Naaman goes there. 2 Kings 5, verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, because, you know, I am so important. and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not these rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? I mean, really, why did I travel all this way just to go wash in that river? I mean, what's so special about that river? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, a lot of times when we come to God, we're wanting him to fix the situation. We're wanting him to wave his little spiritual wand and tap it, and hey, look, wow, presto, it's all better. But sometimes there's a process. Sometimes there's things we need to do. There's preparation. There's changes we need to make. Because if we don't make those changes, we're going to find ourselves back in that same situation. So we need to understand that sometimes God is asking us to do things because he's preparing us to be able to keep the situation looking like a pretty bowl. Because he may fix the situation, but because of our choices and our decisions and our character and our lifestyle, we end up with the bowl all smashed and in pieces again. So we need to be obedient. What has Jesus asked us to do? Go dip in the big Sioux. Thank you. I knew I was missing a word. I couldn't think of it. Go dip in the big Sioux 7 times. Can I just do it in my bathtub? The water's cleaner. At least it's a nice warm temperature. No, go dip in the big Sioux. Stay right where you are. I need you to spend time in prayer with me. I need you to study this book. Maybe God's got you stuck on a chapter and you're like, for the past week, God, I've been reading the same chapter. Can we move on to something else? He goes, nope, you haven't got it yet. There's something in that chapter you need. Maybe he tells you to get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself, and get to moving. Activate your faith. Put action to what you're wanting to see. Or maybe he's telling us to stay put. You know, sometimes inaction on our part is so difficult, but that's exactly what God's wanting us to do. We're wanting to, here, let me help you get things rolling, God. Abraham and Sarah, perfect example. God had promised them a child, and it had been years and no child had manifested. So Sarah's like, well, God, I'm just going to help you out. Abraham, here's my maid. Here, have a child with her. Well, he did. Sarah didn't like that. Well, that's not what I wanted. And it created a big mess, right? If she had only waited for the Lord to do it at his time. Amen. So do I need to adjust my attitude? Do I need to adjust my words? Do I need to adjust my conduct or my character? We need to take inventory. Am I obeying what God has told me to do? Am I allowing him to lead? Am I allowing him to reshape the situation? Or am I trying to get involved in the process? Okay? One big thing that we need to do is we need to monitor what's coming out of our mouth. What are our words saying? Janelle, if you put up Psalm 8, verse 2, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established praise because of thine adversaries, to still the enemy and the avenger." So when I am talking about my situation, which spiritual force am I giving credit to? God or the devil? What are my words saying? It's not looking good. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I mean, just look at how bad the situation is now. It is so bad compared to yesterday. I don't know. I don't think God's going to do it. Or are we looking at and saying, God has said in His word that all my needs are met. God has said in His word that my body is healed. God has said in His word that I am highly favored. God has said that I am smart. God has said that all my children follow after Him. What are our words saying, and what are they doing to that situation? Keep God's words on your lips and quit sabotaging the reshaping process. You know, the Spirit moved and did what God commanded the Spirit to do in creation. God was establishing what you say you shall have. Mark 11:23. You shall have what you say. So as I'm speaking about my situation, maybe the reason it's not getting any better is because of the words I'm saying over it. God has told us, watch your tongue. Watch your words. Okay? So be obedient. Speak over that situation what you want that situation to do. Okay? Third thing is pursue. Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 42. So when we're working with a shapeshifter, we only believe. Just believe that He can do it. We obey what He's asked us to do. We're keeping watch over our words, making sure that we're speaking only what we want to see this situation do. And now we're pursuing. We're going to pick up in the second half of verse 42. As Jesus went with him, now he was heading to Jairus' house to pray over his little girl. He was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, the whole crowd is trying to get to you. Everybody's touching you. Verse 46, but Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now, think about he was surrounded by crowds. So if you've ever been Black Friday shopping somewhere where people are trying to get to the TVs or some big item, you know, and you are in the crowd and you're being pushed along, you have no control over the direction you're going, people are elbowing you out of the way, they're stomping on you, they're running you over with their carts. It is, you know, it's just pure mayhem. But this gal was in pursuit of her situation being reshaped. And she knew that Jesus could do it. So in her pursuit, there were several things we can learn from. According to the law at that time, she shouldn't have been out in public at all. She was not supposed to be out in public with the condition that she had. So what has the world told you that is causing you to not pursue the reshaping of your situation? Emma, honey, it's been so long. I mean, just look at how bad this situation is now compared to when you first started believing God. Why don't you just give up? And, you know, after this length of time, why keep fighting? Why keep believing? Why keep hoping that God will do it? It's never been done before. And if it has, you surely can't do it. What's the world telling you that's hindering your pursuit? Look at what happened to Aunt Sally. She believed God. She didn't get it. Well, I'm not Aunt Sally. Okay? She had to push her way through the crowd. So thinking back to Black Friday and trying to get your way through the crowds. Everybody is trying to get to Jesus. And she's probably having to push her way through and not make a scene so that people would tell her, you need to go home. Unclean, unclean. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know, she's pushing her way through the crowds. People are elbowing her. People are stepping on her. She might be crawling, trying to crawl through between legs around people. You know, it's dirty. It's dusty. Her knees are getting scraped up. Her hands are scraped up. She's being kicked. But yet she still keeps going. She doesn't let the journey and how hard that journey is deter her from getting her situation reshaped. So we need to ask ourselves, how much effort am I willing to put into seeing my situation reshaped? How many years am I willing to stand on the promise that God has gave me? When Satan keeps punching me with another blow, how many blows am I willing to get up from? One, two, 10. Where's my breaking limit? My breaking point? You've got to determine that. How determined are you in your pursuit? How serious are you about your pursuit? So many people, after a while, they just like, you know, it's just getting too hard. It's just getting too tough. My easy button is no longer working. It's not always going to be easy, guys. The proof of the desire is in the pursuit. How bad do you want your situation reshaped? Keep pursuing that. Jesus said he touched her deliberately. She was intentional. Today is the day where I am going to get in the presence of the Master and I am going to be healed. Today is the day. I am doing this today. I am going to get my healing today. So do you know what you want? Are you being specific? God, I have this situation. Can you fix it? Well, be a little more specific. What do you want this situation? How do you want it to turn out? God, I don't want just all my bills paid. I want to have $5 in my checking account when I'm done. Okay, that's a little more specific. That's a little more deliberate, a little more intentional. This is not the time to be sending up a Hail Mary prayer. You know, when the quarterback does a Hail Mary, well, I hope somebody catches it down there. Well, God, I hope something works here. No, God, this is what I want. And be specific. It's only in the consistent and constant pursuit of God that change will come and last. It is only in the consistent and constant pursuit of God that change will come. How many times have we treated God as our 911 God? Help! 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 Emergency! Emergency! And he's met that emergency and we go on and we live our life. Another emergency. Help! 911! 911! No. What he wants is that we pursue him daily. That we're in his presence daily. That as much as we pursue a new promotion at work, or as much as we pursue our favorite sports team, or as much as we pursue the attention of that person we want to love us, He wants us to pursue Him even more than that. Are you pursuing that change? Are you pursuing the shapeshifter? Or are you only coming to Him when, God, I have a problem, I need it fixed? Okay, thank you. Walk away. 2 weeks later, God, I have another problem. Will you fix it? That's not what He's wanting. He's wanting a relationship, a close, intimate relationship. If you would pursue Him a little more, you wouldn't be coming to Him every 2 weeks with another problem. Because you'd be making better choices. You would be knowing how to live your life. You would be knowing how to take care of the situation before it gets to the point where you need His help. Okay? What I pursue becomes the treasure of my heart. What I pursue becomes the treasure of my heart. And in Proverbs it says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Out of it flows your life. What I treasure, what I deposit down into my heart, is going to come out in my life. It's going to manifest in my words. It's going to manifest in my actions. It's going to manifest in my desires and in my emotions. So if I want the shapeshifter to be able to take this lump of Play-Doh and make it into a beautiful bowl, I need to be pursuing Him. He needs to be my heart's desire. All right? So as we're working with the shapeshifter, because God has told us He is in our midst. God has told us that His Holy Spirit has the power to do what we need it to do. God has told us that there is nothing too big for Him, that there is nothing we will face that He cannot take care of. But we have to work with Him, and we have to believe. We have to believe that He can do it. We've got to get that promise. What's that one word from God that you can hang on to when the storm is crashing? When the waves are knocking you down? When it is so dark you cannot see a way out? What is that promise that's giving you the hope? It may look hopeless right now, but God has said, God has said, I am this. God has said, I am healed. God has said, I am blessed. God has said, I overcome. And then obey Him. What has God asked you to do? Allow Him to be the lead, and you just follow. Allow Him to make the situation, you just follow. Do what He's asked you to do. And pursue Him. Pursue Him and pursue what you want with purpose and determination. I am not giving up. I am not quitting. I am going to get the desired result. God is the shapeshifter in your life. No matter what the situation looks like, He can make it beautiful. You just have got to trust Him. You've got to believe Him. You've got to obey Him, and you've got to pursue it. You've got to put action to your faith. All right?